This past weekend was a big one for grits. Georgia Governor Roy Barnes named grits the state's official processed food. And in St. George, South Carolina, there was the annual Grits Festival, including the event in which contestants wallow in a grits pit. The winner is the person who rolls out of the pit with the most grits adhering to the body. Today, it's Morning Edition's turn. As part of the Present at the Creation series, exploring the origins of American icons, NPR's Linda Wertheimer has the goods on grits.
Grits may be the first New World food served to the British adventurers who stepped off the boat at what became Jamestown, Virginia, in 1607. Turner Catledge, writing in the New York Times, said the newcomers were given bowls of steaming hot softened maize seasoned with salt and grease. Historian John Edgerton notes that the British brought pigs, bringing together the two southern staples of survival and celebration.
Both of them are good for this region because they will grow anywhere. They're very edible and usable in a variety of different ways. They're economical foods, and so they serve the poor and the rich alike.
Edgerton says after the Civil War, the mass production of both pigs and corn migrated to the Midwest, and that's where most grits are produced now, notably by Quaker Oats. We met John Edgerton in Nashville at Dan's Cafe over a breakfast of fried eggs, sausage, and grits, a plain white plop on a plate. I added hot sauce. Other diners were doing other things to their grits.
I like my grits with very little butter. I do not like a lot of butter in my grits. Very little butter and a little sugar. All molasses or honey, and I'm happy.
Now, what about you? How do you eat your grits?
Butter and salt. Butter and salt. Breakfast isn't complete without grits.
Grits gained some ground in the middle of the last century when fancy recipes began to appear, embellishing that plain white plop. Edgerton believes the first published appearance of cheese grits was in a 1942 edition of a cookbook written by Marjorie Kennan Rawlings. We tried cheese grits at Miss Mary Bobo's boarding house in Lynchburg, Tennessee.
Oh, goodness, how'd you hear about Miss Mary Bobo's?
We were greeted by hostess Lynn Tully. She said garlic cheese grits would be on the day's menu, along with half a dozen other side dishes. I was drawn into the kitchen by the amazing aromas and found huge black skillets of sizzling chicken being fried in lard. But I digress. The dinner bell rings at 1.
I'm looking for Hickory Valley Christian Church. Any of them out here?
Cheese grits at Miss Mary Bobo's is the classic version found in many spiral-bound church lady cookbooks, baked into a puffy, golden, savory version that ought to get by even those who remember grits as something nasty they ate at a Southern Army base many years ago and haven't tasted since. At our table, Bernie Billingsley of Murfreesboro and Linda Maynard of Laverne volunteered memories of grits.
It seems to me like when I was a kid that we made our own grits. Take the corn, put it in a big kettle, and boil it, and I believe we put some lye in it, I'm not sure, to make the hominy. And then we dried that, and then put it in a grinder, like a sausage grinder, and ground it up and made it into grits.
And then we also had a grinder right down the road from us that you would take 10 pounds of corn and you'd get 5 pounds of meal back and he'd keep 5 pounds. And that's how you paid him. It was sort of a bartering type system.
Our hostess Lynn Tully told us that many families made it through hard times with grits, growing corn and taking it to the mill, as we heard Ms. Maynard describe.
Well, I will tell you this, that historically I think grits got the South through the Depression. Because if it hadn't been for grits and people having a little grits in the pantry, you know, they wouldn't have had anything to eat.
We saw grits ground at Falls Mill in Belvedere, Tennessee. It's a huge barn-like building filled with the sounds of the millstones and the slapping belts that move the old machinery. The rumbling water wheel at Falls Mill is enormous, 3 stories high with 112 metal buckets. The big wheel turns the shaft, which turns the small pinion gear, torquing up the power to turn the millstones. John Lovett explains what happens to the corn.
The corn is fed from an upstairs bin, flows down into the hopper, goes through the millstones, and when we grind grits, we separate the stones a little wider than for meal, so we get a coarser grind.
True Grits, dried kernels of corn, coarsely ground. Many people think the name Grits comes from grist, as in grist mill. Others say it's from Middle English, gritta, with a Y and two T's, a word meaning coarse or coarsely ground. Others think the name describes the texture. Mills which preserve the old ways have started a new vogue for grits. The richer-tasting stone-ground variety is on fancy restaurant menus. Here in Washington, grits are always served at Vidalia, where Chef Peter Smith created squid stuffed with tasso ham, served on grits.
Originally, when we thought about it, we were going to use a rich, creamy grit, like almost like the regular grits you'd see, just kind of a spoon of that. And we started playing with it and going, well, you got the squid, it's kind of squishy, and you got the stuffing, it's kind of squishy, and you got the grits that are kind of squishy. So instead of going with a squishy route, we decided to take it and turn it into a grit cake where you get the crispy on the outside, and then the inside is where you get the squish kind of idea. So it's playing with textures and flavors and how things kind of go together more than anything else.
Chef Peter Smith sees grits as an opportunity.
You just take grits, kind of look at them for a while, hang out with them, and then they'll tell you what they want to do. Or in your mind, you can kind of look at it and play and just take a couple different things, and you can do a lot with it.
That's the right attitude, says our food historian, John Edgerton. Nationally, grits consumption is falling. It's no longer automatic on breakfast plates across the South. But it is still something, John Edgerton says, which has a hold on the Southern imagination.
I tend toward a more whimsical view of grits. I like them, I eat them, I enjoy them, I cook them, but I laugh about them more than I take them seriously.
Should grits get a grip on your imagination, check our website, www.npr.org. There are lots of things to try. We didn't even get to grits with goat cheese. I'm Linda Wertheimer, NPR News, Washington.